Hi everyone, welcome to How Can I Heal podcast with Krina Okumus. This is an interview series with people that I admire and really made a change in my life. We are exploring questions about life, dreams, how can I be more happy and healthy, and learn how can we deal with pressure or challenges in the private or professional life. I really hope you take a nugget of wisdom or two and you are improving your own life for the better. Today, I'm speaking with Andrea Ochoa. Andrea, she was working for, you name it, starting with Victoria's Secret, Carolina Herrera, Calvin Klein, L'Oreal, and one day she realized that actually she wants to do more than that. And now she became a holistic well-being coach. Why such a special discussion besides all her knowledge? She was really open to share her personal life related to self-love and emotional eating.
Then I found diet pills at 16 years old and was basically addicted to diet pills from 16 to 28, which completely destroyed my body because it's amphetamines, and who else knows what other kind of toxic chemicals are in these things. And I became addicted and started to find ways and quick fixes instead of healing my relationship with food. And I think another part of it was I was always trying to look a certain way instead of focusing on feeling good.
And now let's get to my conversation with the amazing Andrea Ochoa. Hello, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining today. I'm super excited for our today's discussion.
Me too. Thank you for having me. I'm also very, very excited to be here.
So Andrea, you've been working for Victoria's Secret. You've been global marketing coordinator for L'Oreal, Calvin Klein, Carolina Herrera. You really were traveling in US especially and in Europe. And now you are living in Italy. And I wanted to, you know, I was thinking your life is really like a movie. I'm very curious, how is an American doing in Italy? How is your life in Italy?
I mean, it's exceeding my biggest dreams and expectations, because I once envisioned myself to be exploring Italy on my own and, you know, kind of just on vacation, or, you know, just kind of traveling or something like that. And now, like you just mentioned, now I live here and I'm also married to an Italian man who is just like one of these guys who are completely different than any Italian man you would ever imagine. I call him like my love bug. And so living here has been absolutely a dream, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to experience this. I've been here now for almost a year, and I'm so happy to be able to explore the country very, very deeply and really be immersed in this culture. There's part of it that is similar to the spirit of a Latino and my Hispanic background, which I really, really love. So it has a sense of home. The language is beautiful, and I now speak the language, which is really cool. I never thought to learn a new language at this age and at this time in my life. So that is amazing. And of course, the food is just endlessly delicious. So I'm loving it here.
I mean, the food is the best topic, and I'm happy that actually this is one of our main topic of our discussion today. But before we move to the food, you mentioned on your Instagram that self-care is how you get your power back.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that. And I want to really ask you if you can tell me a little bit more about this.
Yes, it's one of the topics that I'm very, very passionate about, because it's been such a fundamental part of my journey and my transformation to get to where I am now. And so self-care, self-love, I mean, I use those words interchangeably. And for me, what that really means is, you know, in simple form, is to just basically love yourself unconditionally through it all. And what I mean by through it all is you know, we're very dynamic people. There's a lot of layers to who we are. And I think that self-love and self-care is really about loving all sides of yourself and embracing every aspect of you. And, you know, there's two sides to self-love, and how I see it is, you know, kind of like with life, or, you know, with light, there's dark, and with self-love, there is the dark and there is the light. And so they go together, and without one, the other one can't exist. And also with, so like self-care is the way you can show yourself self-love. And another thing is with this, you know, this idea of self-love, it's that it's always evolving, as we are always evolving, as we are always changing, as nature always changes, as the seasons transform, because it's not this thing that you say, okay, I figured it out. Like this is self-love for me. And that's it. That's going to be the thing that you do every single day. And it's going to make you feel amazing every single day, because life happens. We go through different phases of our life. And so with that, it's important to just remember to keep exploring yourself and keep, you know, seeing what works for you in that moment. And then going back to the two sides of self-love, what I mean by that is there's the light part, right? There's the part that feels really amazing, that is more, you know, happy and joyful and celebrating those things in your life and doing the things that really make you feel good. Like if it lights up your soul, if you get lost in that activity, that is the best form of self-love for you. And then there's the dark side to it too, which is the shadow side and the shadow work, which is also really, really important, because it really allows you to get in deeper connection with yourself. And the more you are connected with yourself, the more you understand yourself, and the more you're able to, if you love yourself so much, that energy starts to radiate outside of you. And so you're able to attract what you want. You're able to be more present in your work, in your relationships, as a parent. And that's really, and what I mean by self-care is how you get your power back, because sometimes when we're giving so much and when we are in a place where we're feeling depleted, but we're still saying yes, when we really wanted to say no, that's giving your power away. When we are not speaking up how we truly feel in our relationship to make somebody else feel comfortable, that's giving your power away. So self-care is really how you embody being your highest self, which is taking your power back and kind of being in this place where you're able to show up as your best self.
I really love how you are explaining me that. It's very, very beautiful. And actually, it's such an interesting topic, because I mentioned it on the Instagram, but I had to mention it here. I have to say a big thank you to you, because for me, it was such a good lesson about self-love. And actually, even for our listeners, I'm very curious how many of them they are asking, as we are asking our friends, how are you today? How many times we ask ourselves how I am today? And for me, I have to say self-love, it's really at the beginning. And we recorded this interview again, but somehow because of me, I did a mistake definitely. I couldn't find the recording. And at the beginning, I was like completely like shooting against me. And it was like, wait a second, I'm actually even speaking about self-love in this interview. And I'm doing exactly opposite. So first of all, thank you so much for agree that we can record again this interview. And for me, it was like, okay, this is a big lesson. I was wondering how we really cultivate a love for ourselves and for our body, and really like help me with some practical exercises or some practical advices for our listeners.
In specific to the body or in general? In
specific to the body, yes. Because okay. we move on into this, yeah.
It's a beautiful segue into this as well, right? Because I think that in order to truly cultivate and like really feel comfortable in our own skin, which is definitely something I am personally practicing every day, because self-love and having confidence in your own skin is really a practice. And it's really something that you nourish, and it's really something that you know, it's like a garden. You keep watering it, you keep giving yourself love. And the way to do that really is acceptance, like radical acceptance of yourself, and truly celebrate that you are beautiful as you are, and we are all different. And the foundation of like learning to love your body comes from this self-care and self-love. And also, you know, for me, how I like to see it is looking at my body as my temple, which is something to kind of be taken care of and something to give attention to and to treat it nicely, because I want it to be at its best, to feel its best, to perform its best, because without health, without optimal health, you have nothing. If you're not feeling healthy in all of the ways, it's very challenging to function in your life and be at your best self in other ways. And so for me, like, along with the acceptance is understanding, again, like, we are changing through life, and I'm learning that now. And I'm seeing that, for example, I put on a little weight this winter, and I'm learning to accept that. And I understand that, okay, in the winter, it's colder, it's a little harder to get more motivated to move around, you're eating a bit more because you're socializing more, you're on holiday and all of these things. And it's okay, right? Like, being gentle with yourself and allowing yourself also to enjoy, like, for me personally, and I think for a lot of people, and I know we spoke a little bit about like the enjoyment, you know, the deliciousness of food in Italy.
Exactly.
Is like part of life is enjoying the food that's out there and the flavors and the tastes and all of these things. So the more you allow yourself to enjoy these things and see that as also nourishment, when you see it as a nourishment and you're not kind of overindulging to the point where, you know, you're feeling sick and all of these things, because you see that as, okay, like, I'm engaging in this action of treating myself to something good, and you're able to be in connection also with your body to understand when to stop to eat. And I think it's also just looking in the mirror and like embracing everything that you have, even if it's hard. And I know, you know, thoughts might come up like, oh, I'm not this or I'm not that. And it's just like noticing those thoughts and being gentle with yourself and understanding that comparing yourself to anything out there is not going to serve you, because we are all unique, and that's part of the beautiful thing of life.
I love it. And actually, I really want to speak a little bit about breaking free from the diet breach cycle. But before that, did you find out, I'm in Italy now as well, and I have to say, I'm trying to find out, I don't know if I can call it a diet, because we are both not such a big fan of this word, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But these guys in Italy, they eat like crazy. Like, they eat focaccia, they eat pizza, pasta, they have... Did you find out if it's a secret why they are... Because I don't see so many fat people, but I'm telling you, if I am staying here for one more week, I can have problems if I follow what they are eating. Did you find out their secret?
I think actually at the beginning it's like that, but then once you start to actually live here, you start to notice that the diet, the way that they eat, yes, I'm not going to use the word diet, but the way that they eat is a lot more balanced. And I think when you come to visit, even if it's for like 2 weeks or something like that, it can seem like all they're eating is pasta and focaccia and all of these things. But now that I'm living here, I'm learning to still enjoy these things, but in a more balanced way. So you're also eating veggies and stuff like this. And I will say, I think I'm still figuring it out, but I will confirm with you at a later time. I also think that because they fully enjoy what they're doing, like, they're truly able to digest the food in a different way. Like, they're not holding on to guilt and all of these things. Like, they see Part of the culture is to socialize and enjoy the food and be a part of this experience of eating, which for me is so important too, which is this, they do like mindful eating without knowing that they're mindfully eating sometimes.
Yeah, and they are even thinking about food before and after, and they already prepare the whole digestive system to work even 2 hours before they start
true,
to speak.
It's true. And also they walk a lot. Like I think in a lot of cities, there's a lot more movement in Europe in general than in the US, for example, and that also helps.
And they are fasting, actually. In the morning, they just have a coffee and espresso very late and maybe maximum a croissant, right?
Yes, it's true. It's true. Breakfast in Italy isn't a big thing, which for me was surprising because I love breakfast. So I'm kind of bringing like my American breakfast to the Italians. It's so funny.
So let's now breaking free from the diet bridge cycle. And I really would love to share with us your personal experience about diet and in general about food and about your extra weight that you had when you saw it as a problem.
Yes. So I'm so happy to share this. So thank you so much again for this opportunity. I think that in general, my journey with my relationship with food has been very, very long, dynamic, complicated, and started at a young age. I never used to think about my body when I was young. I don't remember ever thinking about it until I went to my doctor, and I think now I remember what happened was I got my blood exams back, and I think my cholesterol was high and certain things weren't level, and I was a little bit overweight, not by a lot at all. And I think I kind of started to take this overboard, and he said, yeah, you can lose a little weight. And then I started to, it began as trying to get healthy and lose a little bit of weight. And then it started to become an obsession when I was younger. And I remember looking at Victoria's Secret magazines. And I think like also a lot of society and the way that a perfect body is portrayed in society was not a positive thing for me at the time. I was
During that time, Andrea?
I was 14 years old.
Oh, you were so small.
Yeah. And this, at this age, it's really where I created the foundations for my relationship with food, which were not healthy. And it began the diet binging cycle, which was basically restricting to the point where I was just so hungry and feeling deprived and feeling, because the more you tell yourself you can't have something, the more you're going to want it. And I remember restricting and then eating pints of ice cream and restricting and then just like eating. And this cycle continued up until recently in my life. And, you know, I had a little bit of anorexia. It wasn't like very major. Luckily, I was able to come out of that rather quickly. But this relationship with dieting did not heal at all. Then I found diet pills at 16 years old and was basically addicted to diet pills from 16 to 28, which completely destroyed my body because it's amphetamines, and who else knows what other kind of toxic chemicals are in these things. And I became addicted and started to find ways and quick fixes instead of healing my relationship with food. And I think another part of it was I was always trying to look a certain way instead of focusing on feeling good. And now I'm right now in this moment in my life, I like I mentioned to you, I gained a little bit of weight since September from the holidays and being in Italy and all of these things. And I was just like, okay, I had the opportunity to either do what I did before or do something different and really truly heal this once and for all. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having fitness goals and with wanting to feel better and be stronger and healthier. And that's what I'm focusing on now to get to a goal, but I'm not focusing on the end goal. I'm just enjoying the journey, and I'm focusing on feeling good with each decision that I make, with each choice that I make. And that also for me is self-love, right? Is to continue to feel good. Like if I don't, like, let's say I plan out my workout schedule for the week and I wake up and I'm tired because the day before I worked out and my body doesn't want to do that, I'm doing my best to listen to my body by, and just because it's something that I had scheduled, I'm okay with being flexible and changing that thing. Or if life happens and maybe I had to work a little bit more than expected and I don't have the hour that I had planned, I'm being more gentle with myself. And so I think the biggest thing is changing your mindset with understanding to really enjoy the journey and the process instead of focusing on the outcome. And this has changed it entirely for me because I'm enjoying feeding myself healthy food. I'm enjoying, I'm not seeing food as the enemy. I'm really seeing food as the fuel. And that can even mean sugar in chocolate, you know, it's not just vegetables.
But what was the moment when something really clicked? Because at the end, we speak about so many years when you were,
I think, this. So first of all, initially to let go of diet pills, I knew deep down inside that what I was doing was not healthy because losing 20 pounds in 1 month is not normal. And, then gaining it back. And so this vicious cycle, I think it came to a point where I was so exhausted and frustrated emotionally, you know, because also the emotions that come from binge eating after you've gone on a crazy diet is guilt, shame, frustration, and all this cycle was just didn't feel good for me anymore. And that was when I was 28 in Barcelona, where I decided to let go of diet pills. So that was like step one. So it's been a journey of like little by little kind of like unlearning these things that I've learned along the way and coming back home to myself. And now recently my biggest aha moment in my life, like it really feels like I am deeply shifting in this area, has been recently when I look in the mirror, I step on the scale and I am 4 kilos, which is a lot more than I was in the summer. And I'm like, okay, so I have this opportunity instead of being like, oh my God, I'm so mad at myself. How could you gain weight? How this and that, which sometimes those thoughts did come in my mind. But for the most part, I thought, okay, you have this opportunity to do things differently. And so I'm choosing to do that and I'm committing to making these choices. And I think it's also committing to yourself and committing to the self-love, right? Like the self-love is the foundation of it all.
First of all, I have to thank you so much for sharing this because I know for you it's a long and very personal journey and that you had the courage to start to share that. And I know that you want to do that for others. It's for you a healing process, but as well for others that they are in similar situation like you are, that they can hopefully follow and get your advice and heal themselves. So thank you so much, Andrea, for doing that. You need to have a lot of vulnerability to and courage to do that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for creating the space to allow me to share. I'm super grateful.
So you spoke about you eat sugar and you eat different products that maybe before you were feeling very guilty. So basically you go to the rule 80-20, 80% eating healthy and 20% trying to really eat something that you like to try. Or what is your kind of philosophy into that?
Yeah, so the 80-20 is definitely my philosophy. It's kind of what you just mentioned. So like 80% is healthy vegetables and clean. So I do a plant-based diet. I'm vegan. And so 80% is the healthy things, but I'm also now into, I'm like rekindling my relationship with carbs. So that's included in the 80%, which is really liberating and amazing. And then the 20%, you know, I still am very mindful about the ingredients that I'm putting in my body. So I am doing, I do not consume natural flavors, and I'm mindful about checking the ingredients with everything that I buy and making sure that there's no toxic chemicals and things like that, because like those things don't really come into my 20% because I still believe in whole foods. But the 20% is that ice cream and the sugar. Like I'm a sweet tooth girl, so for me it's mostly sugar and things like that. Like it's very easy for me to say no to potato chips. but the focaccias and all of these things go in the 20%, and I allow myself to have that, and I allow myself to enjoy that, and it's something that is really, really working for me, and I'm not feeling restricted. I'm feeling like I can have whatever I want, and I can have, and I can still enjoy, and I can still feel light, and I can still feel energized, because for the most part, I'm giving myself healthy, high vibrational foods. And then that 20%, I let myself have fun with it.
Yeah, and it's so important to see how you feel. You know, it's like when you put a good gas into a car, that car really drives very good. If you eat and you feel that you are tired, you feel tired after, you feel really low in energy, then it's a clear question that the food, it was not a good one, because at the end of the day, the food has to give you energy for what's next and not the opposite.
Yes, I love that analogy. That's so beautifully said. And I think that the mindful eating, part of mindful eating is this idea as well, is definitely checking in to see how you feel, to also understand what works best for your body. I love that.
So if you want to have a sugar craving, what are your solutions? Normally, you know, when it's around 3 p.m., then your body starts to ask for some sugar. What is your option? Because I invite everyone that they are listening to check your blog. I will make sure to link everything and your Instagram. And you are making amazing recipes. So yummy. The only regret is that I'm not there with you to try together. Tell me one of your favorite sugar craving, that maybe even like an energy ball or something that gives you energy in the around 3 p.m.
What is a good option for you? First of all, I'm so looking forward to being together so you can try my deliciousness.
Me too. Very soon.
So what I like to do actually is not once a week, but you know, quite frequently, I make like one healthy cake. So for example, today I made a juice and I have extra carrot and apple pulp. So I will make like a healthy cake from that, with maybe some gluten-free flour, almond flour, some coconut sugar, or I sweeten it with dates, and I make a big version of that, a big serving of that, and I will save it also, or I will freeze it and kind of like have it in my freezer and know whenever I'm in the mood for something sweet, I can just take it out and defrost it. So that's one thing. Are my vegan kind of healthy cakes, or something that's a lot easier that I personally really, really love and I find super satisfying is chia pudding. It's so easy to make. You make a serving of chia pudding, you put like some plant-based protein in there, which is my favorite brand is Sun Warrior. They have really clean ingredients and it tastes so, so good. I've done so much research on plant-based proteins and this tastes amazing. And then you top it with fruits and whatever else you would like some seeds or something like that. And for me, it really hits the spot, because chia seeds keep you full longer. You have healthy fats, you have protein, you have some sweetness and freshness from the fruits. And so for me, it's like a snack that's really complete and won't spike your blood sugar either. So those are kind of my secrets for satisfying. Oh, and of course, like dark chocolate. And I always go for dark chocolate that's above 75%.
I love dark chocolate. I promise you a very good dark chocolate from Switzerland. Definitely.
Ooh, I'm excited.
So speaking about how is the morning for you? In the morning, I know that you are fasting sometimes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and you have a cool app that you are managing that. How often you are fasting?
So I use my favorite app for fasting is called Zero, and it's amazing because it times it. And if you sign up to their Zero Plus, you have challenges and they give you a lot of information on fasting, which is great for the education. I was fasting every day and I was doing one long fast a day, but now I'm training a lot more than I was before. I'm sometimes training two times a day. Like on Saturday, I went on a bike ride for nearly almost 4 hours, 80K. And so right now it's wow. I'm so grateful that you asked me this question. I was just thinking about this today because I was like fasting every day. And right now in this moment in my life, because I'm training so much, fasting isn't feeling the best for me. So I'm only fasting right now, I would say like 2 to 3 times a day. So it really depends on how much exercise I'm getting.
2 to 3 times a week, you mean?
Two to three times a week. Yes, mm-hmm. 2 to 3 times a week rather than before, where I was fasting every single day. So, but I still do like a minimum of 14 hours of like 12 to 14 hours where I'm not eating. So when I wake up in the morning, for example, the first thing that I do is have warm water, 1 liter of warm water with nothing, just water to like hydrate your insides. I just learned this from a yogi and it's been amazing. And then I will move into like some sort of liquid, like it can be a fresh juice or a protein shake with milk or some sort of like elixir that has like different things that I put into it. And then I will eventually eat my breakfast. So I give myself about, you know, 3-4 hours before I'm eating something solid in the morning, and I feel amazing. Like, I love to ease my body into it after it's had its rest.
I have the same and I love it.
Yeah,
it's really helping. I really love that you are having a very educative platform, and you are really, like you mentioned before, checking very well what is written on the label of each product, and you find out some of the crazy products that sometimes we believe that they are very healthy, but they actually have crazy ingredients inside. And I want you, if it's possible, to share with us some of your recent research related to that, like food wise, you know, products.
So I feel like I'm the ingredient police, and sometimes
and I love that. I love it. We need this kind of police guys too.
And sometimes I'm like, oh God, you know, I hate to break the news to like the person that's giving me the food, but you know, it's been a really good practice for me to kind of like stay true to myself and just be like, you know, say it in a nice way. And so kind of like my rules of thumb, I think there's like different levels to it, right? There's a more extreme level to it, and there's definitely like the beginner phase of it. And I think the way you can start is kind of when you look at your ingredients, if there's something that you cannot pronounce, like sometimes you see like really crazy long names like maltodextrin or like all of these things, definitely don't consume that. Or if you see something that's a number, sometimes you see things like E427, these are fillers, these are chemicals that are going to preserve the food. And I would say to avoid these things, because there's things that are created in the lab and they're just not good for you. They're not real foods. And then the next step or the next level would be to do your best to stay away from natural flavors. And so I use more like a 90-10% rule with this. Like, I give myself 10% of the time. I really want to go moving towards like 100%. I just don't eat anything with natural flavors. I'm still working my way there. But the reason why natural flavors are not healthy for you, so it's something that I learned from my experience in the beauty industry, was if you see in beauty products, it says parfum, for example, and even if the product is organic and they're claiming that they're clean beauty, if it says parfum, that means that legally it's this loophole in the industry that they put parfum, and they're able to put, because it's kind of saying it's an ingredient that we can't disclose because it's something that we patent in and it belongs to us, but they can disguise other chemicals and other things behind this parfum. And so the similar idea relates to natural flavors. And so
even with cosmetics.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
So no perfume. That's important.
No parfum. You see, it's hard to find. I will say it's hard, but there's a lot of brands that are doing that nowadays. And this concept was how I discovered, I got interested in like, oh, okay. So this idea of parfums, I was like, wow. So brands are doing this, and like, this can actually apply to food too. And so I kind of started doing a little bit of research and inquiry about this. And then I came across this natural flavors, which means it's almost the same thing, or it's basically the same thing as artificial flavors, but they put natural now. So they're saying, oh, okay, because it's natural flavors, it's okay for you. And it means that it's derived from something natural. So if you see a protein bar, for example, and it's blueberry flavored and it has natural flavors, it means that that flavor is derived from a blueberry, but the process is exactly the same as an artificial flavor because it's created in a lab and it goes through certain steps to create the flavor of blueberry. And so you're actually eating chemicals. And a lot of this natural flavors is in foods where they're saying they're organic and gluten-free and healthy and even like
sugar-free, you know,
sugar-free.
All these very good words that we are like, oh, wow, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. And then you look at the ingredients or even like coconut water, for example. Coconut water should just be made from coconuts. It shouldn't have fructose. It shouldn't have added sugars. It shouldn't have any of that stuff. So it's just so important to be mindful about what the ingredients are, like taking that little bit of time to check it out. Even with like a lot of plant-based milks, I see that it has so many fillers and added sugar that just there's no reason for that stuff to be in these types of food.
Wow, so many things we learned today with you, Andrea. Andrea, what's next for you? Tell me what are the future plans?
So I just recently officially launched my online coaching business. So that is kind of launching and growing. Thank you so much. Along with the ebook that I like, you can do the coaching, but the ebook is kind of like a starting point if you're interested in kind of working on yourself. And the ebook touches on, you know, the body in terms of food. It has recipes. It also has a lot and an entire section on self-care, and then another section on mindful living. So it's kind of this holistic approach to change your life and to start to elevate your well-being, which is the name of the book. And my website, which is, I'm constantly just sharing information and recipes about, you know, living better, loving yourself, and little things like the things we discussed today. And another exciting big thing that's in the works right now, I'm working on a project with my husband Gregorio, and I can't share a lot of information about it now, but
just a little bit for us, please.
It is okay, what can I share? So it involves the most amazing, like, it's basically a breathwork and music related project, and we are co-creating this program, and it's gonna be fantastic. Like, I'm so excited and I want to share so much about it, but we'll be sharing stuff super soon, and I will be updating my Instagram, and so will he as well. So stay tuned for that, because it's what we're focusing on at the moment, and I'm very, very, very pumped about it. So
I'm sure we all can't wait, and I will make sure to really speak about it.
You can get a taste of it. I know you've had a taste of our meditations with Omnis when we were doing that.
Amazing.
And you can get a taste. We just recently did a meditation, breathing and movement mix for Sun Potion, and you can find it on my website as well. And it's a guided meditation through breathing and sound, and you can kind of get an idea of where the project is headed.
Okay, perfect. That's a good one. So my last question, Andrea, what will be to-go advice, like, for our listeners? We speak about self-love and we speak about emotional eating. We spoke so many other topics, but this is basically one of the advice for one each other together, that our listeners can start to do it right now. What they can start to practice right now, self-love and emotional eating,
so
which are connected.
They are connected. So for self-love, give yourself every day a minimum of, like, even if it's 1 minute a day, give yourself time, find the time, make yourself a priority, find the time to be with yourself for a minimum. It can be a minute a day, even if it's you sit down and take a few deep breaths, you know, that's already a step towards giving yourself more self-love. And then also understanding that self-love, there's different areas of self-love. Like, we have there's six different types of self-love. And so nourish each type of this. You can choose one of those types for each week, for example. You can focus, one week I'm going to do physical. The next week I'm going to do stuff that nourishes my mind. The next week I'm going to do something that works on my emotions. The next week I'm going to do something more spiritual that lights my soul on fire. The next week I'm going to focus on social. And then the next week after that, I'm going to focus on the sensorial aspects of it. So find the time, make yourself a priority, and commit to yourself, because you are your most important relationship. And the magic of self-love and self-discovery really happen when you're in solitude.
Thank you so much, Andrea.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, what a conversation. Thank you so much, dear Andrea, for all your sharings. I know that some of them, they were very personal, so I appreciate so much your vulnerability and that you felt safe into this space to share with us. I really wish you all the best with all your projects, and I really can't wait to reconnect soon. For more inspiring interviews, head it over on Spotify, Google Podcast, iTunes, or wherever you are listening now. I have more surprises coming soon. If you like today's show, please share it with your friends, family, or community. I'm Krina, and you've been listening to the podcast How Can I Heal with Krina Okumus.